Let's just pray before we open the word. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Just thank you, Lord, for your presence among us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you just bless us, Lord, as we open your word this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we just want to keep continuing on with our theme for this year about being on fire. Trust, hopefully, we do have the PowerPoint with us today. And about being on fire for the Lord. It tells us in Romans 12:1, it says that, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and pure worship. And it talks about giving our body as a living sacrifice. We know that in the Old Testament they had sacrifices which were perpetually offered, where they had to give sacrifice bulls, and there was a sacrifice for sin. We know we have a sacrifice, Christ, once and for all. And so rather than having a sacrifice that was consumed by fire, that we are the living sacrifices, and that we are consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit within us, that we're on fire and we're passionate for him. And those offerings that were brought were dedicated to the Lord. I want to talk about us being dedicated to the Lord this morning in the little time that we have left this morning. I want to speak about Samuel, and we did a baby dedication this morning. Samuel, it's a beautiful picture of Samuel. We have Hannah, who's a mother that is desperately, desperately wanting to have a child. And that's all she can think of. I just want to have a child. She has a husband that has two wives, and she has a rival wife, the other wife that has all these children, and here she's the other wife who desperately wants to have children. Her husband loves her. We don't have two wives, praise God. I love my one wife with all my heart. I wouldn't want to have two wives. But she was very upset because the other one was hanging it on her, putting it down, saying, look at me, I've got children, you can't have children, and putting it down. And she was very desperate, desperate wanting to have a child. And so that's the story of Hannah that I'll read about in a moment. But when we talk about being dedicated, I want to say that we're all dedicated to something. And the question for every one of us is, what are you dedicated to? What are you dedicated to? And it become obvious what really you're dedicated to as we'll go on this morning. But what are you dedicated to your life? If you've dedicated your life to Christ, does our life show that? Are we really dedicated to the Lord? We talk about something being dedicated or someone being dedicated. We talk about someone that is committed, someone who's loyal, someone that is faithful, someone that is very highly focused, that put a high priority on something. And you just think, if I say, oh, someone was dedicated, you know, he's dedicated to his job or he's dedicated, what does that actually mean to you? What do you think of? Well, you think of words like loyalty, hardworking, focused, faithful, all of those things. And we want to talk about being dedicated to God. We've seen a little life dedicated to the Lord. But when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we dedicated everything that we are to Jesus to be that living sacrifice consumed with the fire of God. And so let's talk about being dedicated to the Lord. We pick up the story with Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21, and I'll read down from there. This woman that so desperately, desperately wanted to have this child that was crying out to the Lord. And it says, when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family, and remember, he's got children through his other wife, to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, now she'd prayed to God, and miraculously the Lord had opened up her womb and she had a son. She had a son. A son was such a precious gift to her to have a son. Highly desired to have a child, but to have a son, her firstborn was a son. And so Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned. And so once the boy gets to about 3 years age, they would feed their children to about 3 years age, maybe a little bit longer. After the boy is weaned, I would take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. So she's being miraculously given this baby by the Lord. She becomes forced pregnant. She has this baby, and so she's got a new little born baby. It comes to the time for the family to go up and offer the annual sacrifice before the Lord. But she says, no, look, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay and I'll be with this child until that child is weaned. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. And so he actually affirms the vow that she's made to give her child to the Lord. He could have said, look, forget about the vow, just come with me, and she would have to submit with him. But he actually affirmed the vow that she'd made, which was very important, that that child was going to be given unto the Lord. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And so when he got to about 3 years age, maybe a little older, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with her three-year-old bull, an ephod of flour and a skin of wine, and brought them to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boar to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my Lord. As surely as I live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord had granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And so this was a wonderful thing that she did, that she'd had this child that she'd cried out to before the Lord. And before I talk about what a dedicated life looks like, because we want to look at the life of Samuel, a child that was dedicated to the Lord. What does a dedicated life look like? Samuel is a wonderful picture of that. But I just want to think about the dedication of the parents, and particularly of also Hannah and what she did. See, we're dedicated. One of the things that they had to do, they had this sort of conflicting responsibility here in that there was the annual requirement for the family to go before the Lord and to present this sacrifice. But then Hannah, and then also made this vow where she'd said, look, I'm going to commit myself to bringing up this child and I'm going to focus on this child and bringing it up in the Lord's way, and then to be able to hand the child over into the service of the Lord. And sometimes as Christians, we have priorities and responsibilities that we have to juggle with. And not everybody does that well, but if we're dedicated to the Lord, we'll learn what it is to balance those responsibilities in life. Some people get caught up in the wrong thing. They sway things too far in one way or the other. But we're people that are dedicated to the Lord. We learn how to work out those responsibilities, to put the things of God truly first in our life, not just a catchphrase, not just a throwaway line that we make, but we truly put the Lord first in our life. And family was obviously very important. She had this little child. She's only going to have him for 3 years. And in the 3 years that she had this child, she's sowing herself into this child. And so we have to learn how to balance responsibilities in the things of God, and certainly that was one of the challenges that they had to learn to go with. But also the incredible sacrifice of parents when they committed their child to the Lord, when they dedicated their child to the Lord. Hannah, who cried out so desperately, you read earlier on the passage about she was so passionately crying out before God. Eli thought she was drunk because she's just there and she's crying out to God, not making a lot of noise, but just opening her mouth, just beseeching the Lord. And Eli's think, this lady's off a tree, she's drunk. She said, no, I'm not drunk, my Lord. I'm just crying out that I will have a child. So she finally has the prayer answered. She has this child that miraculously is conceived. And so she has this precious gift, this child. And so she brings this child. When the child is 3 years old, maybe a little older, she brings the child and she says, this child, I made a vow. I committed this child. And she brings the child and she brings it. They bring all the offerings and all the things that they have to sacrifice. And she puts down little Samuel, about so tall, and hands him over and says, here he is, the one that I promised I'll give to the Lord. And then she turns and she walks off and goes home with her husband. Can you imagine a mother leaving a child like that? But it amazes me how many parents actually come and dedicate their children to the Lord, but they don't actually follow through on that. They don't bring their children to church. They don't bring them to Sunday school, grow kids. They don't do that. They make a vow but never fulfill that. But somebody is dedicated to the Lord, as Hannah was so desperately dedicated. The precious child that she cried out for so much that she said, Lord, here is your child. And then she had to leave the child once a year. She would go up and she'd be home and she'd make him a nice little ephod to put on, and she would take that to him, and little Samuel was here next year, a little bit bigger Samuel, and slowly he grows up into this powerful, mighty man of God. But one of the things about being dedicated is that you know what sacrifice means. Hannah knew what sacrifice was. And I don't know if any of us could really fully appreciate, I'm not a mother, but a mother that was so desperate for a child, that she was so committed to God and his plan and to his purposes, that she sacrificed not just a bull and everything else that was sacrificed, but she sacrificed Looks like we're loose again, guys. Made the ultimate sacrifice in handing a child over. A child didn't die, but how hard that was to actually do that. And we talk about being dedicated, but what sacrifices do we make in being dedicated? Is it the mild inconvenience that we suffer every now and again? Or if we're seriously dedicated to God, then we will certainly make him a priority. And that's why I applaud Hannah for doing that. She made a vow and she followed it through. Many people say a whole lot of stuff. Very easy to make commitments. Very easy to throw away around promises and statements and of commitment. But Hannah, someone who was dedicated to the Lord, she made good her vow. She fulfilled her responsibility. And someone that is dedicated to the Lord, you will fulfill your responsibilities. You won't think, oh, someone else will do it. Oh, it doesn't matter. What difference does it? No, no. You fulfill. And certainly Hannah was one that did that. She followed through well on something that she said. You can just imagine how hard that would have been, how difficult that would have been for Hannah. But she followed through and said, no, Lord, I've given my life and my heart to you. I made a vow to you, Lord. And Lord, this child is going into your service and in your care. And what a wonderful thing. And so that just speaks to me of an incredible heart, someone who was dedicated. Hannah is what should be applauded as one of the champions in the Bible, because the sacrifice that she made, her willingness, her heart. You know, we talk about Abraham ready to sacrifice Isaac, and that was an amazing thing, but I think Hannah's sacrifice is just as worthy of being applauded, because she gave her child, only saw him once a year until he grew to this mighty man of God. I want to talk about the life of Samuel very quickly in the very limited time that we have to talk about what does a dedicated life look like? Because as parents, we dedicate our child, and really what is a picture of a life that's dedicated to the Lord? As Christians, we give our heart and we give our life to the Lord and say, Lord, we just receive you, Lord, into our life, Lord. We ask you, thank you for the forgiveness of sin, of all the rubbish and junk, Lord, that you've taken and you put that on the cross, Lord. And I take your holiness in exchange for all the rubbish, Lord. And now I stand and I commit my life to Christ. I dedicate my life to Christ. What does that look like? What does it look like if we're on fire, if we're the living sacrifice full of the fire of the Spirit and passionate about the Lord and his kingdom? If we're dedicated to God, what does that look like? Because it's got to look like something or else it's nothing. It looks like something. What does it look like? And Samuel's life gives us a great picture of that. Now, we don't have time to read a whole bunch of scriptures this morning, but when you got your bookmark this morning, you would have got that, and I trust you have a look at that, and you can read those scriptures at home. One of the things about Samuel, that someone is dedicated to God, Samuel was an upright and godly man. Now, he started just as a little boy, learning in the house of God, learning amazing things in the house of God. And as parents, we have that responsibility of bringing our children into the house of God and allowing them to grow in the things of God, but also to teach them. But he was an upright man. And eventually, what happened with Samuel is he grew up, he began one who ended up actually becoming the leader or judge of all of Israel. And he judged for maybe about 25 years or so. He led the people of Israel. And then eventually the people of Israel, they wanted a king. And the Lord said to Samuel, look, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're actually rejecting me and demanding to have a king like everyone else around them. And so Samuel makes this incredible farewell speech in, chapter 12. And in that farewell speech, where he's basically handing over the leadership of the nation, he still stayed as a judge and really was the spiritual leader. But the military leader and then the political leader, as he handed that responsibility over to Saul, whom he anointed, he said to the people, he said to them, look, guys, I've not cheated anyone. I've not wronged anyone. I've not done anything that, you know, and led them with all sincerity, purity out of his heart. And the people all said, they all affirmed, they said, yep, you've done that. You haven't ripped us off. You haven't abused us. You haven't persecuted us. You haven't oppressed us. You haven't ripped us off. You've dealt with us honorably and righteously. And that was a testimony to his life, that he'd actually stood in such a way. And someone that's dedicated to God, we have to be godly. godly in our thought processes, godly in our behaviors, godly in our speech, because the work of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Spirit in our life is something that is sanctifying. It changes us. It changes who we are. It makes us aligned and shaped to who Christ is. It forms Christ within our life. And so being upright and godly, someone that is dedicated to God, you can spot that by their life. How dedicated they are. They're dedicated to God. Godliness will pervade their life. Someone that is dedicated to God. He was also a man of courage and great conviction. Twice he confronted King Saul. King Saul had the power to say, off with your head, chop your head off, Saul. Saul could have done that. Twice he confronted him. He confronted Saul first of all because Saul was getting a bit nervous. The enemy was coming and there was a battle. Samuel said he would come and have a sacrifice presented and then they'll be all ready. Yeah, let's go off into war. Samuel was a little bit later coming than he thought. And so the army had started to melt away. It tended to happen. They started to get a little bit scared and they just sort of, see you later, guys, and all just nicking off and the army slowly dwindling away. Saul starts to panic and says, all right, I'll do the sacrifice, and starts to do the sacrifice. The moment he starts to do that, who rocks up but Samuel? Samuel, who no longer the political leader of the nation but still the spiritual leader, he says, what do you think you're doing, Saul? It's not for you to be doing the sacrifices. And he rebukes him. And Saul says, oh, look, I'm really, really sorry, but everyone was starting to nick off. And Saul rebukes him very strongly, even though he could have lost his head. And so he had courage. The second time was when he had to again confront Saul. Saul was told to go into battle and annihilate the Amalekites. Get rid of them because the Lord didn't want their sinful idols and their things to be coming in. But he decided, no, look, he kept some of the good stuff for himself. He even let the king live and just kept some good stuff. And again, Samuel says to Saul, what do you think you're doing, man? You were told by the Lord, and then really tells him off. He was a man of courage and conviction. And if we are Christians that are dedicated to the Lord in any time in history, I think we need to be men and women of courage and conviction right now. In about 30 days' time, you're going to be asked to vote on gay marriage. And I trust that if you're dedicated to the Lord, that you would vote no without any hesitation. That because we know that's not godly, it's not the way of God. We need to stand up. We need not to be afraid. You need to be able to say in your workplace. You need to be able to say at university, wherever you are, that you no, that's not godly. And we need to be people of courage of our convictions. We need to stand up because we're dedicated to God. We need to make a stand. We need to make a stand. Oh, no, but people won't like me or I might lose my job. And people have lost their jobs because they make a stand. But be a person of courage and conviction. Samuel could have lost his head, and yet he stood in the courage of his convictions and what was godly. We're people that are dedicated to God. We're going to be men and women that are people that have courage of our convictions. We are courageous, and we will make a stand for righteousness, and we're not compromised in the things of God, that we stand firm because we're dedicated to God. We're on fire for him, and so we will make a stand in these things. The other thing about Samuel is that Samuel was one who heard the voice of the Lord. Beautiful story of Samuel. We've heard it before where he's just a little boy and he's in bed and he hears this voice saying, Samuel! And he goes around and he runs up. He goes to Eli, goes, you called me. Eli's getting pretty old in the tooth by now, says, just go back to bed, Samuel. I'm asleep. And Samuel goes back to bed. He hears the voice calling him, Samuel. He gets up, he runs again and says, you called me. Eli says, I didn't call you. Just go back to bed, you stupid kid. Just go to sleep. And again, Samuel's there and he hears the voice, Samuel. He goes running to Eli. He thinks, realizes he's playing a little game with him. He runs to Eli and he says, you called me. And Eli suddenly, oh, maybe it's God. Go back and if you hear the voice again, say, here I am, I'm listening. And so Samuel goes back. He hears the voice again and says, yes, Lord, here I am, I'm listening. And that was the beginning of his wonderful work. He became an incredible prophet of God who able to hear what God said. And there's something about being dedicated to God and being on fire for the Lord that we're able to hear the voice of God. That's one of the defining characteristics. If you're dedicated to the things of the Lord, then you're going to be able to hear from God, hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, what should I do in this situation? How should I behave in this situation? What will I do? The Lord will guide us. He put people on our heart to touch and to speak to pray for, and we can be led of the Spirit. And so someone is dedicated to God. And Samuel was a mighty, mighty prophet of God. Great leader, but incredible prophet of God. And he was able to hear the voice of God. And so we need to be ones that are tuning our ear to the things of God. And one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. Samuel was an incredible man of prayer. He was an awesome man of prayer. And he would pray. And the scripture tells us that there's one episode, and it'll be in your bookmark, in 1 Samuel 12, well, he prays, because he's actually telling them off. He's telling the Israelites out. And he's just to show them, he says, I'm going to pray right now. It's nearly harvest time. They're ready to bring in the harvest. You do not want a storm at harvest time because of what it could do to the crops. But he says, just to show you that the Lord's not happy with the idolatry or your hard-heartedness. And he just says, I'm just going to pray and it's going to rain. And he does. And he prays for thunder and rain. Amen. And then pow, thunder, rain comes down. Powerful person of prayer. And prayer is so important for us. We're about to embark, starting next Sunday, after the conference, launching from the Monday, 30 days of prayer and fasting. Now, you might not fast the whole time. You don't want to fast any of the time. It's whatever's between you and God. But it's 30 days of prayer. You can have a little booklet, a daily devotion book, that every day we're going to follow through together and be praying, because we're going to be people on fire for God. We're praying people. We talked about prayer the week before. And so prayer is so really important. Praying people are dedicated people. Because if you're dedicated, you're going to be in relationship, and prayer is ultimately about relationship. And so if you're related to the Lord and you're dedicated to the movie, somebody that's praying. Samuel was an incredible, powerful person of prayer. That's why he was able to hear from God. The Lord talks to him. You read through Samuel, and the Lord talked to Samuel, and he said this to Samuel. You say, well, God never ever talks to me. Well, maybe you never talk to him. Maybe you're not listening. And we talked about prayer. But being a person of prayer is a sign that you're dedicated to God. And if you think, well, maybe I'm not as dedicated as I thought I was. Well, maybe we're not. Maybe we do need to adjust some of these things. That 30 days of fire is going to be a great opportunity for each of us to realign ourselves to the purposes of God, the plans of God, and the fire of the Holy Spirit to be burning brightly in each of our hearts. So I encourage the whole church to be a part of that when we launch that next Sunday as part of the conference next weekend. Also, he wanted others to follow God. And again, in that farewell speech that Samuel had, as he said to them, he said, far be it from me that I would sin against God by not praying for you. And I would teach you the ways of God. And wanted people to grow in the things of God, to learn in the things of God. And if we're dedicated to God, if we're on fire, passionate people, our heart will be, we want to see other people grow in the things of God. It's not just about us. It's not just about our happiness. It's not just about all of the things in our life. If we're dedicated to God, then we have a heart for others. And our desire, our passion is we want to see them grow in the things of God. Samuel, that was his life. That was his heart. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to see people coming close to God, coming into relationship with him, growing and learning. And I pray that that's something that resonates with each of our hearts, that we be people like that. Finally, Samuel was someone who served the Lord. Remember Hannah, when she presented little Samuel and said, and he's going to serve the Lord every day of his life. And Samuel did that. Even from a little boy, it says, as a little boy, he was helping, serving in the temple. As a little boy, he was doing that. And that's why we encourage children and our young people to be involved in serving in different areas. It wasn't until Samuel was now an adult, now I can start serving. Even as a child, he was serving in the house of God. And that's certainly our heart and our encouragement, is that we see even our children, our young people, people serving and involved in the things of God. Because again, he grew up in that. And that's why I commend Hannah, placing him in that environment where he was able to grow. Parents, the challenge is, are you putting your children in the environment where they can grow? Are you going to lead them in that way? But they serve the Lord. And people that are dedicated to God want to serve the Lord. He did that into every day of his life, it said, until the last days of his life. Even after he handed over political authority to the new king Saul, when he anointed Saul. And remember, God wasn't too impressed with Saul because of what he did. The kingdom was taken off him and given also then to King David, who also Samuel had the privilege of anointing him for that role. But as a spiritual leader and also as a judge, he was like a circuit judge. He would go from town to town to town, and all the big problems that would be there, Samuel would sit down and he would help do that. And he did that until he died, until he took his last breath. He was involved in serving the Lord. And dedicated people are ones that serve the Lord. If we're on fire for the Lord and we're dedicated, that's what a dedicated life looks like. When you became a Christian, when you said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. All the rubbish of the sin of my life, I know it's never going to be bridging that gap of holiness and perfection that you have. And Lord, I just want to give my heart to you. I want to take that sacrifice that would apply to me to erase my sin and repent, turn my life around. I'm going to walk your way, Lord, and have the promise of eternal life. When we dedicated our life to the Lord, then we did give everything to him. And so that we want to live godly and upright lives. And certainly we want to be people that are people of courage and convictions. We're not going to mess around with the things of God. It's not a game. The social engineering that's happening in our community, our society at the moment, the affront, the war on Christianity, you're probably not even aware, I don't know whether you are, many of you are, some might not, that in Queensland they're trying to bring in legislation that prevents children, primary school children, from talking, saying the name of Jesus or telling anyone about Jesus, talking about God. You can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about anyone, but don't talk about Jesus. This is in the primary schools. Bringing this in primary schools in Queensland. There's a war going on, and we need to be courageous. We need to confront the sores and say, no, this is not right. And we need to be men and women of courage because we're dedicated to the Lord. We're going to make a stand against those things. We're going to hear God's voice. Samuel heard the voice of God. We need to grow and learn to hear the voice of God. Being a person of prayer is an important part of that. If you're dedicated to God, a dedicated life is a prayerful life. A prayerless life is a nowhere life. If we're dedicated to God, then there's prayerfulness within our lives. We have a heart for others that they will follow God. It's not about us. If you've dedicated to God, you realize this is not about my own little happy life. It's not about me having money in the bank. It's not about me having all my little needs met. It's about people that are separated from Christ for eternity to come into relationship with their Father because of the cross of Jesus Christ and be ones that are really passionate enough that we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. You don't want to see any of your family in hell. You don't want to see any of your neighbors in hell, any of your workmates, your school friends. You don't want to see any of them in hell. We want to see them in the kingdom of God, and a dedicated heart has that heart for others. And to serve the Lord, till his dying breath, he was serving the Lord. And we're people who serve the Lord. We're not just here for a show. We're not rock up for a service and just, oh, great service, and that makes me a part of the church. What makes me a part of the church is I'm a part of Jesus Christ, and that makes us a part of his body. We're in a local body. The scripture says that the body grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. And so we serve the Lord. A dedicated person is serving the Lord. And if you're not serving the Lord, I encourage you to readdress that and say, well, how dedicated am I really? Because maybe I'm not really one who serves the Lord. I look after my family. Well, praise God, everyone in the world, well, not everyone, sadly, most people in the world will do their best to look after their family. Unbelievers will generally, obviously there's plenty of exceptions, but generally people will try to do their best. It's more than that. It's serving the heart of God. Be dedicated, be godly, be a person of your convictions. Hear God's voice. Have a heart for others. Be a man or woman of prayer. And serve the Lord. That's what a dedicated life is. A little child that's been dedicated. What do we want to see for the Lord? We want to see those things come through in the life of that child. But what about you who already committed and dedicated your life to the Lord? You've already done that. Some of you might have done that a week ago. Some of you might have done that 20 years ago, some 50 years ago, however long ago it was. Are you living the dedicated life? And that's a challenge for us because we're talking about being on fire. And if we're on fire, then we will live such a life. Let's just stand to our feet as we pray. Lord is the one who gives us the capacity to do that. We're full of the Spirit of God. It's not just out of our own strength. It's not just our own drive or our own sense of trying to accomplish things. Because we all know that has a limit. But the Spirit of God is within us, is without limit. There's a capacity within you by the Spirit of God, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit that keeps you keeping on, that will help you even when your body's had enough, even when your body's in pain, even when you've got stresses and pressures, your emotions and all the things seem to be screaming out upon you and you think, how can I live such a life? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. He enables us, He empowers us, He energizes us to live such a life, and we want to align our lives. And so can I encourage us once again, when we have the 30 days of fire, that every person will be a part of that. Be praying every one of those 30 days in your own home or wherever you pray. Some of the corporate gatherings we have, the combined worship and praise things we have, the prayer meetings we have. Set yourself a time and say, Lord, I'm going to align myself. I want to be truly a dedicated man or woman, young person, child of God. And so, Father, we just thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us your children because of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, those who have dedicated their life to Christ, Lord, that these characteristics will be manifest within our life, Lord, the godliness, Lord, courage of our convictions, Lord, that we'll hear your word, Lord, that we'll be ones that have a heart for others, Lord, that we'll be prayerful, serving people, Father, Lord, let that be found in each of our hearts, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has not dedicated their life to Christ, has never crossed the line, has never said, I want what Jesus did to count for me so that I don't have to live with fear of death. I don't have to live with uncertainty. I don't have to live without meaning or purpose, but I can have life, true life. Father, I pray you give them courage this day, Lord, to come forward and dedicate their own life to Christ. But Father, we just want to affirm, Lord, all that you are, all that you've done. And once again, Lord, we say, yes, Lord, we want to commit ourselves and dedicate our life to you and be the man and woman that you have made us to be. So, Father, we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.